So if you're just joining us this morning, we've been in a series called Limitless, and we're looking at entering into the endlessness of God's grace. Pretty incredible that when we realize that the resurrection was really just the beginning, that the scripture doesn't end there, that we are to move now from the power of what he accomplished on the cross and live this life out. And the scripture records what went on. And we sometimes tend to live our lives out of the limitation of who we are. And God's saying, no, I want you to live out of the bigness and the greatness of who I am. And, you know, we do run out of our strength, our own power, so to speak, but God never runs out. And he wants us to understand that in a new way. And so, Lord, we're thankful for your word this morning. I just commit this time that I speak to you, and I pray that you would cause the spirit of revelation to be released, that scriptures, both new and old, there would be an illumination into our hearts, that we'd understand what you're trying to say, and you'd bring application to our lives. Speak to us through the authority of your word. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, while I was trying to prepare this morning, I really like to go back to my life, my past, and go, okay, God, what can I bring into this service that we can relate to? And I begin to think of my old car, my very first car, and there's a picture of it. That's not the one. That looks a little nicer. It was a gold station wagon, and it had windsurfing racks on it. It had stickers all over it. And my mom thought it would be a great first car for her girls because, you know, Volvos are known for what? Their safety rating. And she thought, hey, they're going to be driving. This will be a safe car for them to get around with. I'm sure her prayer life went whoop, you know, especially as twins start driving too. Not just one kid to worry about, but now she has two kids to worry about. And so we got a seal. She got this Volvo and we're like, yes, wheels. This is awesome. But how many know if you've had a teenager that teenagers don't necessarily like to invest their money into their car? Some of them may differ, but like it's in maintenance. You know, for any car, even good cars, to run well, they need regular maintenance. They need regular care. If you don't know that, this message is for you, okay? They do. To be at their best capacity, they need a regular input. And so Carolyn and I, my twin, we didn't care for investing our hard-earned money while we're in high school into the car. We'd rather spend it on more important things like clothes and going to the movies, you know, and eating out with friends. And so this poor little Volvo began to wear down. And the first thing that was very noticeable that wore out were the shocks. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever ridden in a car without shocks, suspension, you know. It's bouncy, to say the least, right? Up and down, you know. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But this was to a level where you've probably never seen before. We were driving, or I was actually driving, on 580 over by Oakland and making our way down. And we hit just like a little dip in the freeway. And, you know, you hit those and you just kind of bounce and you stop, right? You're like, oh, dip, you know? Not with the Volvo. We hit the dip in the freeway and we keep bouncing for the next half a mile. Just keeps going because there's nothing to absorb that movement. And so a car next to me drives up and puts his hand out the window and starts making the motion next to us, you know? But that wasn't the worst of it, you know? It got worse from there. So we started having a brake fluid leaking problem, and we needed to keep it filled at all times in order to have active working brakes. So, you know, being the penny pincher high school student that I was, I decided I would wait a little while and not fill it. So driving in the streets and come to a stop sign, I go to put on the brake. And if you've ever had this, it's like the scariest experience of your life. You go and there's no response. The car just keeps going. And I'm like, Lord, in the intersection, I'm like, please, Lord. And luckily there was no cars. And I just rolled to a stop and got out and, you know, waited for fluid to come and, you know, called my mom. But, you know, things like that, it needs maintenance. It needs regular input where God has meant for us to have regular input that comes from him as our source, that he doesn't run out. He's unending in his supply. You know, when we position ourselves in connection with his life and live by him, there's this unending supply that comes. Matthew 28, where we started this study, verses 17 through 20, says this: "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, I love this scripture because I feel like it doesn't hide things. It was, God can handle us. God can handle our doubts. He can handle me. And so it declares it right there. Some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and be sure of this. One of my favorite statements in the scripture, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here's a powerful concept. God's saying, I don't want you to limit who I am to your box and to who you are. I want you to break that top of that box open. And I want you to understand that I've been given all power in heaven and in earth. Not just in heaven, but in earth as well. And from that place of my limitlessness, from that place of my unending supply, you are to live out my commandments. You are to live out what I've asked you to do. You know, and then we moved from there to Acts chapter 1. And we saw that the early church, they're given this commandment, but now Jesus is saying to them, I want you to go, but before you go, I want you to wait. And Caleb preached a great sermon about wait and go, the priority of both and the need for both. And they were to obey the word of the Lord. They were not to leave Jerusalem until they were clothed with power, until they were endued with power. Imagine if they're like, hey, God, we got this. It's okay. We'll just go out on our own. We know the commandment now, and we're just going to head out and do this. No, they were told to sit there and wait. And their waiting involved an active prayer. They earnestly sought the Lord together. And it wasn't just like, hey, you know, it's for the true intercessors to gather and wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. No, it was an everybody thing. It was men. It was women. It was everybody. It didn't matter what ethnos you're from. It didn't matter what age you are. Everybody was participate in this. Let's pray together. Let's reach together and wait on him. And it says they all had one mind and kept devoting themselves to prayer. So all entered in. All were to be receivers. All obeyed. You know, this 120, they obeyed the word of the Lord. Now, you know, not that long ago, which in my life, I'm beginning to realize that not that long ago, you know, I was telling earlier too, like, can span, you know, 5-10 years. So not that long ago, I was having this incredible hunger for God, this intense hunger, and I was crying out, God, what is the key for more of you? What is the key? I'm not a plateau kind of person. I'm not a status quo, just keep it the same. I'm like, God, I want more of you. It's been good. The journey's been awesome. It's been incredible. What you've given me so far has just been, I mean, like, there's no one who loves like you, but I want more. I want to know that I am rising and increasing with your increase. And so the Lord took me to this scripture in John 14, verse 21. And it says this. It says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And I landed right here in this scripture, and I fondly now call it the cycle of love. And God showed me the power of obedience. He says, I'm going to reveal what I desire. I'm going to reveal to you what my will is. And if you take that and you say you love me, then you're going to obey me. You're going to do what my desire is. And from that place, I'm going to say, hey, I love you too. And I'm going to show more of myself. I'm going to manifest more of myself to you. I'm going to increase what you even know about me because you are faithful to what you already know. And then it's amazing because God manifests himself. He shows his character. He shows his nature. And then we have a choice again. Well, I live according to who he is, his desires, his will, and show him my love again. And then he's going to show me his love again. And then he's going to reveal more of who he is. And we're going to go in this cycle of love that keeps growing and keeps increasing. Like, I'm God, I want that. And so the disciples, the early believers, were in this incredible cycle of love. They're like, we understand, God, what you desire of us. You said, wait, we're waiting. And then we'll go. And they received from him what was necessary. There was no reservoir for the future. Because sometimes we feel like, hey, if I get it, then I'm done, right? It's like the Volvo. You need regular maintenance. You need regular input. We need regular, you know, God to move on us and touch our lives and reveal who He is. We have to continually practice. And that's where we landed the last couple of weeks. Now, I've brought you up to date. See, wasn't that nice and quick? I brought you up to date, Acts 2:42. This is where we've been. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So they understood that they were not just like, oh, we've done that before. I've done the prayer meeting thing before. Fellowship, oh, Bible college. I've done the communion thing before. I've done this. No, they kept in this place of growth and it increased. You ever wonder why they so flourished when you read the New Testament, when you read the book of Acts? Why they were just increasing, increasing, increasing? Because they understood this. They continued together. It was a together thing. It wasn't an alone thing. And they had a revelation of the body of Christ. They're like, you're a member of me. Wow, what happens when you and I get together? Like, it's like the eye going, wow, you're the hand. Wow, what happens when I can see and you can move? And like, let's join with the feet too. What can we accomplish in this world? It's like you have prophetic insight, but no ability. And God's saying, hey, I'm going to mesh you all together, one whole body, one whole piece, and look what happens. So they were like committed to this thing. It was continued steadfastly. That was completely devoted. It's like a double word right there, isn't it? Just in case you didn't get it. They really gave themselves to doctrine, to revelation, what was revealed about Christ, what would mold them, what would make them who they are, a living body, that they understood that they could not be complete without each other. So today I want to narrow in on prayer. Caleb's talked about the apostles' doctrine, and last week, such a great message on fellowship. And today, I want to talk about limitless prayer. You know, there's power, incredible power in unity. So much so that Matthew 18, Jesus talks to us. He tells us, he's saying, you guys have to value relationship and working through your stuff. And this is how you go about it. And he laid a pattern for us to work through our relational stuff. But from that verse, he says, if you value and maintain right relationship, look what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you something that you already know, because this verse, Matthew 18, verse 19, starts with the word again. He's like, I've told you this before, and this is so important to me that you grasp this concept. I'm going to tell you it again. So he says, again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Some of you are like starting already. I know the wheels are turning. You're like, anything? Wait. If any two of you agree, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them, or I am in the midst of them. God's saying, where there's unity, I pour out an incredible blessing. You guys, this too, if two agree, is where we get our word for symphony, where we get our word for harmonious, sounding alike, coming together, accordant, to be in accord, sounding like it sounds beautiful to God when two agree, when they come together and they're in agreement. God's like, I like the sound of the music you are making. Your voices together in agreement touch my ears and makes me respond. That's what he says. Anything, touching anything. You know, the first time I really experienced this was early on in my Christian walk. And, you know, I had prayed with other people for other things, but this was very personal to me. And I had become sick. I was in Bible college, and I'm the personality that doesn't like to be sick. You know, like, that's not who I am. I want to keep going. And I didn't want to miss Bible college, you guys. I loved the words. You don't get, like, if you know who I am, and even back in those days, if you've had the pleasure of knowing me for so long, I had a hunger for the word, and you, like, literally couldn't keep me away. I'm like, fever runs to the bathroom? It's okay. I'm going to be in there for the word, you know, like just this incredible desire for God. And so I'm like, I'm not missing it, but I was like, it was difficult. You know, when you're running the bathroom a whole bunch while someone's teaching, it just doesn't work. Okay. So I go home. I'm laying on the sofa of this sweet family that had, you know, taken me in my college years, elders in the church, and they're letting me live there and support me, and totally sick fever, everything. And the wife comes and she says, "Rachel, has anybody agreed with you in prayer?" I'm like, "No." So we prayed right there in agreement, and immediately, you know, I'm not talking like, "Oh, I feel 10% better. I feel 50% better." Immediately, the moment the prayer was done, fever gone, dizziness gone, everything. I was up off the couch just doing whatever I needed to do that day. It was incredible, the power of two agreeing together. Now, I came across this awesome thing recently, and I even posted on my Instagram, but it says this: prayer releases all your eternal resources. I thought that was perfect. It will be on the slide back there. Prayer releases all your eternal resources. When you pray, you unlock the storehouses of heaven. The one who said, "All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth." And when you begin to pray, you tap into the warehouse, so to speak, of heaven. It's like God saying, "I've authorized you with blank checks." Now, some of us are like, you don't give blank checks to everybody. That's right, right? In a company, you don't just give every employee that walks in the doors a blank check. Why? Because they don't understand the heart of the company and what that check is supposed to be used for and that sort of thing, and they might misuse it. But God's saying, "I'm giving my people a blank check. I've given you, you're able to sign off on what you're asking for." And that is in the name of Jesus, in relationship, in knowledge of who he is. Because what? Because I love him. He's manifested himself to me. I know who he is. I understand his power, his authority. And now I can authorize things even in the earth. Whoa, that's not limitless. Now, I know some of you think, "Well, by golly, can someone get together with me right now and agree for a Ferrari? Or maybe a Tesla would be nice. Let's come into agreement." Well, God knows, and he has wisdom. He knows you would not be able to even handle your insurance payments on those cars. So he's not going to give you that. He does have wisdom. He does know what's needed. But he does authorize for his kingdom, his nature, to be released. Now, example of the early church in the book of Acts. So if you want to turn there in your Bible with me, or it's going to be up on the screen as well, Acts 4, verses 23 through 29. I'm going to read a rather large portion of scripture, but this is the church in symphony, in agreement together. It says, "As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said." Now, to give you a context, you know, I just jumped right in there. There was a crippled man by the temple, and they had gone, and he was begging money every day there. Everybody kind of really knew who he was. And they had gone, and like, "Dude, we don't have money. We really don't. You know, our pockets are empty today. We don't have that just to supply your natural needs. But what we have is so much greater. It's called the authority that's in heaven. And the power, all power that Jesus has that's in heaven is also in the earth. And we're going to demonstrate that to you. Go ahead and give me your hand. Rise up and walk." And they lifted him up, and he immediately was healed. And so those that were against the good news of Jesus Christ, who were so opposed to this, they took aside these apostles and they began to threaten them. They said, "You cannot teach in this name. You cannot preach in this name. No more. We're going to do bad things to you. We're going to harm you. We're going to do all these horrible things to you." And so this is the context of this verse. And so they're coming back and they're reporting it back to the believers, and they realize, hey, this is not something we have to carry on our own. This is not a burden we have to carry on our own. And I love this, because immediately they begin to share the burden of what they had. Verse 24, "And when they heard the report, all the believers lifted up their voice." Now, they heard the report. The believers didn't say, "Hey, oh, well, that seems to be you. I'll see you later." They says they lifted up their voice in together in symphony, in prayer to God. And they said, "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in therein, all power, all authority." And they began to pull on what he had promised. And it says, "You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, 'Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. Verse 28, but everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is an incredible prayer meeting, incredible praying together. Now they came and they began to lift up their voice with symphony, with one sound. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how they reached one sound. It doesn't say, hey, there was one prayer leader and they were all in consent with their amens. Or there were multiple leaders at different times. Or maybe when they got to Psalm 2, they all quoted it together. What the scripture tells us plainly is that they were just together in prayer. And they prayed, and as they prayed, they recognized, they started with the recognition of who God is. They said, he sits in the heavens with all authority. He sits in the heavens with all power. He doesn't have limitations. He's limitless. God, we don't want to be pushed back by the enemy into a box. We don't want to be pushed away from your go, from your commandment, from your will. We want to continue to move forward. And they had a choice in this time. They could have shrunk back, shriveled up, you know, been like the raisin of last week, shriveled up and moved away from the purpose of God and moved away from the supernatural element. They're like, oh, that offends people. Oh, that moves, you know, they're like, no, all power, all authority here in heaven and in earth. And so they called on God. You know, if you're the homeowner of your house, what you says goes in your house, right? Well, it should. Some of you are like, it should. Well, if they recognized God was the earth owner and what he says goes. He was at large and in charge. He is large and in charge. So their prayer then was based on his word. Their prayer, they based it on his nature. They're like, hey, you revealed who you are to us. We understand this aspect of who you are, and we're going to let our prayer not be low, but we're going to base it in who you are. They're like, oh, you're a good, good daddy. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. Like we sang this morning, that's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. And they were able to put their faith in his word. That's the incredible increase of faith, knowledge of how he handled things in the past would fuel their faith for the now. They're saying all this stuff, God, this is what was written in scripture. This is what happened. And now, God, now hear our voice, hear our cry, hear our prayer. Knowing him, church, is the key to answered prayer. In his name, it says, I understand your heart, God. I understand what you're like. Imagine the more you get to know him, how much greater your prayers will be. How much more awesome they would be. And imagine when you get together and you understand the body of Christ and how what the Lord does to them, how that increases your faith as well. Because there's power of prayer alone, of being alone. Jesus taught about that, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the agreeing together. If any two come together, ask anything, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So he said, Lord, this is really present with us, the suffering, the death, what just recently happened. But we understand that you foresaw and predetermined. You were in control. You were sovereign. You were in charge. And now, Lord, now do this for us. What it shows us here too in scripture, you guys, is that everybody has troubles. As a Christian, it does not exempt us from life troubles. Does not exempt you from persecution when you're doing the will of God. It does not exempt you from resistance when you obey what he's commanded you to do. And so here, they're praying, you know, and for you, it may not be a level of persecution. It may be a spiritual oppression that you're under. It may be conflict with family members, or it may be a financial situation. There may be troubles in your life that you're facing, and I want to give you a key here that their prayer was not so much for removing all those problems, but their prayer focused on God giving them what they need through those problems. They're like, develop in us what we need. Give us what we need to get us through. We're not staying here. Yes. I'm not saying God's going to make you stay in all your problems. He's saying, God, we're praying for you to give us what we need to get through this with victory, to get through this with power. And so they prayed together. They symphonized together. Is that a word? Symphonize. Sounds good. These prayer meetings then were the prescription for barren Christianity, for a shriveled Christianity. I believe that we have an enemy that wants to stagnate our growth, that wants to cause us to plateau, to just stay where you are and not have that advancement. What we're reading in Acts 2:42 is what kept them just increasing on a daily basis, growing all the time. Incredible growth. And we're not going to stay in this place, but we are, and we're not going to back either. We're not giving up any ground, but we're going to move forward. You know, we have monthly prayer meetings here, and once a month we all meet on a Wednesday night, and also, of course, pre-service prayer as well, but every Sunday. But recently, this last week, we had a Wednesday night prayer, and it just really reminded me of like how all revivals pretty much have started in prayer meetings. We had one of our dear brothers get water baptized right before the prayer meeting. So he comes in just with this glow and this awesome presence, sharing what God's doing. There's this prophetic atmosphere. Everybody's in green together. There's just fire and recharge of the Holy Spirit. And don't feel bad if you missed it. There's another one coming up. You can come to the next one, because I believe God wants to move us out of places of plateau, stagnation, or maybe where we felt like we're not as close to the Lord as we used to. He wants to use this unity together, gathering us together, to move us to the next level. I'm ready for the next level. So let's break through the plateau together. Let's not slow down. Let's not look at Acts 2:42 and go, oh, that limitless, that was a good idea. No, let's commit ourselves to it. Let's encourage each other with what's happened before. And last time we met, remember, I mean, they could have been like, hey guys, remember last time when he said wait and we obeyed him, and how we all prayed and there was like wind from heaven and fire on our heads and everybody began to speak in tongues. Let's pray again. So that's what they did. They're like, let's pray again. Let's come together in agreement again. And we're not left to doubt what happens. Verse 31, I didn't read it yet, but there's a fresh movement of the Spirit, and the gifts and power of God was unleashed. Verse 31 says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook. The building they were in, it had an incredible power go through it that it literally shook the facility. It wasn't an earthquake. It was the power of God. Because I know you live here in San Francisco, and you immediately think, oh, that was just a natural phenomenon, earthquake. No, it's just that building alone shook. God's like, power, authority from heaven to earth. Here you go. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. They received this fresh filling. They weren't a worn-out Volvo with no maintenance. They're like, God's like, I'm sending a fresh outpouring. They were already filled, and now they're getting filled again. And they were receiving again. And it came through prayer. It came through the together prayer. Huh. They prayed, and mighty manifestations began to be released. It says the apostles, verse 33, did great wonders among the people. Great power they gave witness. Miraculous was released to another level because they all agreed together. You guys, what will happen is if we begin to agree together, begin to come together, doors of possibility are opened. Not our box, God. All power, all authority, given to me in heaven. Now go. Now do. Out of that place. So the worship team comes. I want to end with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says this. I do want to land here just for a second. It says, now unto him, that should be a capital H really, now unto him, God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Whoa. Exceeding abundantly above. Like, your prayer, like, all that you can ask or think, I mean, like, even imagine, think includes imagination. But if you are here and you're asking here, and we can all agree that we can ask at this level. And God said, no, it's above that. But he says, here's above asking. What is exceedingly abundantly above asking? Up here, you know? God's like, you're here asking here. But I'm limitless. I have all power, all authority. I am limitless. So you can base your prayers in who I am. So I can do beyond what you can even ask or think. Infinite above, according to his might, his greatness. Not limited to our box, our level. I feel like God wants to really get us out of the place where we live according to what we have and live according to what he possesses. Live according to his nature. He's like, it's okay, you don't have it, I have it. You don't have the power, I have the power. He's handed you the keys of the kingdom. He says, I give you the authority to go ahead and unlock things in the earth and things in heaven. I give you the authority to lock up things that need to be locked up. I give you a blank check. It's sitting in your pocket. Maybe some of you are unaware even this morning as you sit here that you were even given that permission. But I'm trying to show you through the word today what God has given us. That we need to come together in agreement and start having limitless prayers. Knowing God will be the catalyst for the great things to come. So all goes back to that love relationship. It's time for spiritual advancement. It's time that we shake off the slumber, the unbelief, maybe that's been attached itself to our lives, the stagnation where once we were at a more intimate walk with God and now we've retreated back because of troubles or trials. God's saying it's time that in the revelation, the light of who he is, that he's a good, good Father. That we will move forward and take new ground with fresh anointing. We'll understand his heart. And so as we go to a time of response this morning, I'm going to ask for immediate activation. I'm not going to let you go without some immediate response. And this is what I want us to do. As the worship team is going to lead us in a song. I know some of you, this is going to scare you. No, I know, because I struggle with it myself at times, and I'm a pastor, so if I struggle with it, I know some of you, because you have the same nature. Because I want you to find one other person at least. It could be seven other people. It just has to be more than you. And I want you to agree together. Maybe it needs to be something in somebody's life, or it needs to be a breakthrough for the church at large, or you know, whatever you want to. I want you to come in agreement and see what God will do through your prayers. Now, this is stretching, I know. I know some of you are turning around looking for the exit sign. Like, the moment she says, stand up, I'm out of here. But don't do this just for me. Do this to a commitment to... This is our opportunity for advancement. This is our opportunity for growth. This is the place where you will break through to the next level. Is when you understand the power of unity, the power of coming together. Let's go ahead and stand and pray. Go ahead and find your friend, your neighbor. Amen.